I want to teach this morning. My title of my lesson is Emphasis on the Word of God. Y'all know me. Those of you that do know me, you know that I'm really, really straight with the King James Bible. So if I say Word of God, Scripture, Bible, any of those words, you'll know what I mean. I mean the King James, 1611, authorized version. As I heard an old-time preacher used to say, the M1611A1, which is, we're just having all kind of good stuff going on this morning. So you won't have to wonder what I believe. I don't just believe that this has the Word of God in it. I believe it is the Word of God. I don't believe that you can find the truth in this Bible. This Bible is the truth. The only truth there is in this world is as it relates to this Scripture. And that's all there is. So anything you find that's true, you'll find it's true because of this book. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say a way, a truth, and a life. The truth is Jesus Christ. This book, as we'll see here shortly, is impossible to separate from Jesus Christ. So without any further roundabout here, let's go right into it. With emphasis on the Word of God, first of all, I want to go into how it is to be received. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 says, For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. We come to this Bible so often as just another book. I mean, we pick it up and it's just another book. So many people don't seem to grasp the idea that the God who created everything we see wrote a book. He gave us this book. John Wesley, I got this written down. I'm going to give you a few quotes today from people that I really, really like to hear from. But John Wesley said this. He said, I am a creature of a day. I am a spirit come from God and returning to God. I want to know one thing, the way to heaven. God himself has condescended to teach me the way. He has written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. Let me be a man of one book. That's good. Coming from John Wesley, that's really good. We are people of the book. If you're born again in here today, you were born again because of this book. You were born again. You now become people of the book. What we don't seem to realize is everything as it relates to life in general should be related to this book. I've had people tell me, you just run that Bible in the ground. You think everything's related? Yes, I do. Yes, I do, because it is. It is. He said, as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It ought to work in us. As we receive the word of God, as it is in truth, the words of the living God, we should allow it to work in us. It will. The only thing that keeps it from it is us. We are the only thing that hinders God from working through us and in us. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. That's why he gave us his book. That's why he gave us his word, so he could use it to work through us. Now, in 1 Peter 2:2, he said, As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So, we should receive this book as little children. And Jesus said, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. So, as we come unto him as little children with childlike faith, how many of y'all got kids in here? Everybody's got kids. Just raise your hand real quick. Just everybody in here almost, okay? So I've had grandchildren who have jumped off the top of my house to me. You know, you hold your hands up, jump to me, Sammy, and here he comes. They just leap right off. Well, how many of us can say we have that kind of faith when we come to God's Word? But that's what he wants for us. That's what he desires for us. Our children look to us for everything. You know, when you got little ones and they're running around, it's daddy, 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 mommy, mommy, mommy. I've seen Dustin's little boy. when his mama comes down out of the choir, it's, "Mommy!" He can't stand the thought that she's that far away from him. Now, how should we be, according to the book, with our Lord, with the book? We ought to, as newborn babes, you know how a newborn baby is? They got to have that milk. They scream and cry for it. How often do we cry for this word? How often do we need it like we need the food that we have? We should, but it's not that way most of the time. And I'm not saying I carry that around either, you know. But now listen, let me tell you something about this word. I got it marked. In 2 Peter chapter 1, one of the biggest statements about the Word of God you'll find in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 through 19. He said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." Now, what he's talking about there is the Mount of Transfiguration. We've all read that story when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain and was transfigured before them, and they heard the voice of God speaking from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Okay? Now, that's what he's talking about here. So listen to what he said. "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." He said, just to clarify what he said, "We heard God's voice. We heard God speak out loud on the mountain with Jesus Christ, but we have a more sure word of prophecy." That's this book. That's this book. This book is a more sure word than the voice of God speaking. That's something to say, isn't it? I mean, study that just a second and think about what he just said. We have something here that God has written down that can never change. Satan himself is transformed by the word of God that says that Satan is transformed into an angel of light. So he can come unto you masquerading as God Almighty. He could speak from heaven and make you believe he was God if you didn't have something to compare it to, if you didn't have something to judge it by. See, we have no way to know anything as it relates to God apart from this word. No way. Because we can't, listen, you can't take your own ideas. Well, I just feel like, I know what the book says, but when you say that, you have just said you don't care what God said. That's something to say. I know what the Bible says, but I just believe. Okay, you believe what you want to, I'll take the book. Because this book has never failed. It's never lied. It's never been wrong. You can't not find one error in this Bible. You can't prove one error in this book. So I'll take the book. That's what Peter said. He said, "We believe the book stronger than we believe God speaking from heaven." That statement has always just blown my mind. In James, he said, "Wherefore," in James 1:21, "wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." So, as we come to the word, it's to be received in meekness, not arrogance. We come to this word in meekness because we don't got it. We don't understand it all. See, no man on this planet, and I don't care who they are, I think our pastor is probably the smartest human being I ever met, okay? And he knows this book better than anybody I've ever talked to. But I don't think he knows it all. I don't think any of us will ever know it all. So when we come to this book, we come in meekness. Not in haughtiness, and not in know-it-all thought process, and not in, "Well, I've got this thing mastered." No, that ain't it. And that's why he knows what he knows, because he comes to the word in meekness. He comes to this word in prayer, asking God to open it to his heart. And that's the only way you'll ever get it. You'll never understand it any other way. You can't come to this thing thinking, "Well, I know this, and I know this, and I know this, and this got to connect over here." No, God can show you something every time you open this book. I don't know if any of y'all know who Sam Gipp is, but Sam Gipp is one of my heroes. And he said the other day, I heard him say that he thought this Bible, if you read something and you got something you hadn't read the last time, you better write it down. Mark it in your book, he said, because if you don't, God will take it out tonight and you won't see it again. And how many times have you done that? How many times have you seen something in the book and you thought, man, that's good, I need to remember that, and you didn't mark it down and you never found it again? That's happened to me. It's happened to me a lot. So it should be received in meekness. Okay. Now, also, it is the only way, he said here, which is able to save your soul, it is the only way to be saved. You cannot be born again apart from the words of this book. It's not possible. I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care how. Listen, if somebody comes to you and they try to give you the plan of salvation, they're going to give it to you as it is in this scripture. That's the simple way it goes. The gospel, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, is that Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures, was buried, and was raised again according to the scriptures. So we have to go that this is the only way to be saved, according to the scriptures. So 1 Peter 1:23, he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. We're born again by this word. Everybody that's ever been saved has been born again because somebody brought them the Word of God. Somehow, they heard the Word of God, and they were born again because God spoke to their soul, showed them they were lost, and they asked to be saved. They came, they received Jesus Christ. That's how we do that. So, it has to be according to the Word of God. Now, in Romans 10:17, he said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, even our very faith comes from the Word of God. It comes from hearing the Word of God. When we go through trials, you know, Peter talked about the trial of your faith, you know, being much more precious than that of silver and gold. Our faith can be tried, but it's always going to be tried when we look into this Word. That's when we're going to be successful. That's when our faith is going to overcome. It's because of what we found in the Word. You know, and then we see that God always does what He says. When we go through trials of faith, when we get in the book, we'll find out that God always does what He says. That's when our faith overcomes, when we find out that He always does what He says. So, according to 2 Timothy 3:15, he said, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So it's, again, the Holy Scriptures. Also in James 1:18, I got it up here, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So if it's own will, with the word of truth. In Ephesians 1:13, He said, in whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So, never ever has anybody been born again apart from the Word of God. It's never happened. Don't care what anybody tells you, it's never happened. So, you hear this stuff so much from other places. You know, we got a lot of misinformation in our world today. Not just with the political stuff and all the stuff that's going on, but we got a lot of misinformation about the Bible. I mean, how many churches are on TV every day that have no idea what the book says? They don't even have a Bible, the majority of them anymore. I mean, it's very, very hard to find, as most of the people here know. We get visitors from all over the country, all over the world, that tell us all the time, there is no Bible-believing church in our area. And you think about that. I mean, it's getting to the days where the Bible-believing churches, those that believe the King James Bible, are few and far between. And if you don't, even the ones that say they believe the King James Bible, even those that are real strict and real straight about that, some of them are just crazy, some of the stuff they come up with. You know, I used to go a long time ago, I was saved in the Assembly of God Church. And I went to an Assembly of God Church. And they believed that King James Bible as strict as anybody you ever heard of. And half of their doctrine was so crazy you couldn't even believe it. So, and I'm not trying to kick anybody. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to throw them under the bus. I'd say as many of them are saved as Baptists are. You know, I mean, you got Baptists. Do you know, and I've said this before, and it makes me so sad. The Jehovah's Witnesses, I've got a guy that I've known for years in Atlanta, Georgia, who is one of their teachers. He's like big shot in the Jehovah's Witness organization, okay? And they have a class that they teach strictly to convert Baptists. And you know what he told me? And this is right out of his mouth now, the guy that teaches the class. The reason why they convert Baptists so easy is they don't know their Bibles. They don't understand the book. That's why they get them so fast. That's why they get them so easy. Now, I understand I'm in a church where most people read their Bible. I understand I'm in a different church than most folks are in, okay? Even in the independent Baptist churches, a lot of them nowhere near what we've got. But still, how many people, even in our church, come in here without their Bibles? They come in here and they leave their Bible here on Sunday and go home and leave it all week long and never pick one up. Now, I know I've got 15 or 18 Bibles at home, you know, and I can read anything. I have left my Bible here, so I'm not throwing you under the bus if you just forgot your Bible one day. But how many of us don't ever take it home? And it's what we need to be born again. Now, God Himself has given His Word an exalted position. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That of the two statements in the Bible about the Bible itself, this one to me is the greatest of all. I mean, it is the strongest. And Ronnie already knows where I'm going. Psalm 138, verse 2. There's no greater statement about the Bible than that. He said, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Man, that's a statement right there. Let that soak in just a minute. God Himself has magnified His word above all His name. That's the name Jesus Christ is the name of God, isn't it? I mean, isn't He God manifest in flesh? If He magnified His word above all His name, His word's above that. That's saying something. I mean, and that's not me saying that. I'm not trying to tell you I'm taking anything away from Jesus Christ. I think He's everything we need. I think He's everything there is. I mean, I do. I got Him in a higher spot than anything in this world or anything else. But this says God exalted His word above that. We ought to think about those things. We ought to take that in. When we come to God's Word, we ought to take that in and let that settle into us. Let that settle into our minds and then settle into our hearts what exactly that says. I mean, we ought to come to this book very serious. I mean, not flippantly, just pick it up and, you know, another quote I got here that just come to my mind when I said that. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who we all have heard of, says, some people like to read so many Bible chapters every day. I would not dissuade them from the practice, but I would rather lay my soul asoak in half a dozen verses all day than rinse my hand in several chapters. Oh, to be bathed in the text of Scripture and let it be sucked up into your very soul till it saturates your heart. Man, I mean, that's something to say. We ought to think like that. We ought to feel that way about this book. And I'm not going to stand up here behind God's desk and lie to you and say I always do. I'm not any different than anybody sitting out here in the pews. I'm not standing up here trying to make you think that I'm some big time special saint or something. I'm no better than anybody else. I'm just telling you what the book says. You know, if I'm going to stand here and tell you the truth about what God says about His book, I'm going to get hit too sometimes. It's impossible not to. I mean, you don't think Preacher Lawson stands up here and preaches and don't hit himself sometimes. I mean, because you know he does. I mean, we all get it. We all get it. I mean, Ronnie, you preach, you know what I'm talking about. Anybody that's ever taught anything in the Bible or preached anything from the Bible, you've been hit yourself while you've been studying or while you've been teaching or something. So we need to take it as it is. It's above everything. This book ought to be the highest thing in our lives. It ought to be the most important, most valuable thing that we possess should be this book. So, now also, I said this a while ago, but it cannot be separated. It's impossible to separate this book from God Almighty And it's impossible to separate this book from Jesus Christ. Now, there are plenty of verses, and I've only picked a few, so I'm not going to belabor the point a lot, but I am going to hit it really hard. I want you to see this because it's true. Now, in Hebrews 4:12, and everybody knows this verse, for the word of God is quick and powerful. That quick means alive, by the way. Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, that gives it personality, okay, because it discerns your heart. And I've always said that's the reason people don't read their Bible. Because when you're looking into the book, it's looking into you. And, you know, what was his name? Mark Twain said, it's not the passages in the Bible that I understand or that I don't understand that bother me. It's the ones I do understand. And that, you know, that's true. If we stop and think about that, the things you don't understand the Bible, they don't convict you. It's the things you do understand that convict you. So, but also he said this, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. His, the Word of God. Now, English sentence structure, if y'all listen to me talk for a minute, you'll know I ain't the best English major there ever lived. But English sentence structure is, the subject of this thing is the Word of God. It's not God. For the word of God is quick. It's talking about the word, okay? So neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight is given personage to the word of God. So, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's making this Bible God. That's what it says. In Romans 9 and 17, we read this, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, the scripture said to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Whose name? Who said that to Pharaoh? The scripture? That's what the book says. And I believe the book. The book said that God and the scripture are the same. Used them interchangeably right there. That's pretty good. I like that. And also in Galatians 3:8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. Now if you go over there in Genesis chapter 12 and read that, the Bible says, and God said to Abram. So right here, again, Paul is putting God and scripture interchangeably. It's impossible to separate the two. It's not possible that you separate those two. Make sure I don't run out of time. Everybody knows this verse, or these verses, in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's pretty straightforward. I mean, how are you going to change that? How are you going to fix that? Well, if you're Jehovah's Witness, you say the word was a God. That's what it says in their Bible. A God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Sounds like God to me. Also, John 1:14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I can never read that without thinking about a good friend of mine named Steve Beeler. Some of you may know him, but he's pastoring down in South Knoxville right now. And Steve Beeler said that full of grace and truth. He said it has to come in that order. Because without the grace of God, you can't stand the truth. I mean, that's pretty good to me. That's just something that stuck out to me. I'm not even going to charge y'all for that. But we need the grace of God to be able to bear the truth. But the truth of the matter is, it's impossible to separate Jesus Christ from this book. It's impossible to separate God Almighty from this book. I don't want to go to my last point too fast here, but the fact of the matter is, to disobey the Word of God is to disobey God. I mean, that's as simple as that. You cannot separate the two. In Revelation, this is my favorite passage right here to prove that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. But I like this better than anything. In Revelation 19, he said, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." That's clear, isn't it? Isn't that clear? And, you know, the next verse says, "And the armies in heaven followed him on white horses." That's us. That's us. If you're born again, that's you. I got through this way faster than I wanted to, but I've still got a few points here. In John 12:48, he said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Now that's big time. Do you know, if you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and we will, if we're saved, we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're not saved, not born again, you'll stand at the great white throne judgment. Either one, you're going to stand before God Almighty or Jesus Christ. So, if he said the Word is going to judge you, that makes him the Word one more time. Because if you stand before him, you're going to stand before the Word of God. If you stand before God, you're going to stand before the Word of God. Either way, you stand before the judgment, the Word of God is going to judge you at that day, whether you're born again or lost. And it's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you," or "Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." One or the other. It's going to be simple as that. So we need to understand that you can't separate the two. Also, I got this from Sam Gipp. I mentioned him a while ago, and I heard him say a couple of these verses, and I got one extra in there that he didn't mention. But if you're like me, I listen to the Bible a lot. Listen to it on tape, listen to it on CD, and that's good. I want you to know right off the bat, I am not kicking that because I do it myself. However, you miss some things when you're not looking at this Word. We need to see the book. We need to see the words on the page. We need to understand that. There are things that you can miss completely if you're not reading this book. And that's so easy to understand. When I go into a couple of these things, you'll see what I'm talking about. But I went one time. I drive a truck, and I drive at night, and there was a space between Dublin, Georgia, and Jacksonville, Florida, that I run every night. I left here, I went to Jacksonville, Florida, and came back the next day. So between Dublin, Georgia, and Jacksonville is 3 hours, and nobody could disturb me through that 3 hours because I had no phone signal, I had turned my CB radio off, and everything was mine for 3 hours, and I'd listen to the Bible 3 hours a night down there and back. I went through the Bible 7 times, cover to cover, in 1 year. In 1 year. And it's amazing what you can retain by listening to the Bible. But you don't retain chapter and verse. I can tell you where a lot of things are. I mean, you start a verse and I can almost finish, you know. But I can't find it sometimes because I didn't get chapter and verse because I didn't watch and look at it and read it. So we need to be able to look at that and read that for memory to be able to find chapter and verse to go back to it another time when we get ready to go back to it sometime. But in Malachi 4:2, I want to read this to you. And I may ask a question. I've debated on how to handle this. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Now, that Son of Righteousness, how many, by raising your hands, how many would spell that Son, S-O-N? Oh, I got one. Nobody else? It's S-U-N. But if you're just listening to it, you don't know that it's S-O-N or S-U-N. But it sounds like S-O-N because the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. However, that Son S-U-N is the proper word because Jesus Christ is all light. In him is no darkness at all, the Bible says. So that sun of righteousness is perfect for him because the sun is all brightness and all light. There's no darkness in the sun. So either way, that's fine. But just listening, you won't know that. You'll never get that. Now, also, I talked to Tony Hopkins about this verse right here, and me and him agreed on it. It's hard to figure this one out, too, if you're just listening. But woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. We know that that's the Antichrist. Okay? Now, that idle shepherd is not I-D-L-E, like sitting idle in a car or your car idling. It's I-D-O-L. But you may not know that if you haven't read the Bible. If you haven't took the time to look at the pages and read that and study that out, you wouldn't know that that's I-D-O-L. See? And those things come, those are the things that we miss sometimes. And there are more. By no means did I cover everything on that you can miss by not reading the Bible. And not only that, you can see punctuation in this Bible. When you're reading, you see an exclamation point, you know that was said with fervor. It's like, yes, that would be an exclamation point. So you read those things in here and you get a hold of what the tense of the wording is. You can find out, like Jesus Christ when he was giving the Pharisees down the road in John chapter 8. He was wearing them out. There was a lot of exclamation points in that passage of Scripture. He was not standing up there, "Ye generation of vipers, who hath warned you?" He was loud. It said he cried and said, "Ye generation of vipers." That's how he talked to them. It wasn't like he was being so quiet and everything. And you find that out if you're reading the Bible. You can see how that's punctuated. So that's helpful. Now also, this one here is kind of funny. But I also had somebody call me one time and say, "Hey, I'm a little confused. I always thought that the Jews were not allowed to have pork. And I've been listening to the Bible on tape, and it said bacon, talking about them having bacon in a pan or bacon in an oven." And I said, "Where were you listening?" And it was in Leviticus. I said, "All right." And it says this, "And if thou bring an oblation of a meat offering," meat? Everybody thinks of meat. When you think meat, you think of steak, pork, chicken, that kind of stuff. "Meat offering, bacon in the oven." And they're like, "Bacon?" And they weren't reading. So when you read it, you see B-A-K-E-N, and you get it. But it's not bacon, So a lot of times, we ought to be looking at this book. Now listen to it. Listen to it. It's perfectly fine to listen to it. I think one day we'll hear Moses speak and he's going to sound just exactly like Alexander Scorby. I really do. And I think he is the voice of the Bible. That's what they call him. I think he is. Half the names that I know how to pronounce in the Bible, I know how to pronounce them because I heard Alexander Scorby say them to me. And I'm thankful to be able to ride down the road and listen to God's Word. But it doesn't take away the fact that we need to be reading it. We need to look at it. We need to see the words on the page. We need to accept this word and take it into our hearts the way it should be. Now, I got one more quote for you. Also, this Bible should be obeyed. If we're not going to obey it, what are we doing with it? What's the point of picking this Bible up and reading it and then walking away and ignoring what it said? What good did that do you? How did that help you any? None. Zero. How does that help anybody else? To be able to see our lives and see how God works in us and want what we got. How does that help? It don't. Martin Luther, y'all know who he was. I'm not talking about Martin Luther King either. I'm talking about Martin Luther of the Reformation. He said this. He said, "You may as well quit reading and hearing the Word of God and give it to the devil if you do not desire to live according to it." That's hard words. I mean, that's rough, but that's true. We might as well throw it away and not ever worry about what it says, not ever worry about what it means, not ever worry about who wrote it, if we don't intend to ever live by it. Now, you all know where I stand, like I said in the very beginning of this, on the King James Bible. And what really got me, I think, the most, what really grabbed me and showed me the truth about the perverted versions that are out there, I think, was Isaiah 14:12 and Revelation 22:16. In Isaiah 14:12, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. And if you get an NIV, it says, how have you fallen from heaven, O morning star? And then you take that same NIV and you turn back to Revelation 22:16, and it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify these things in the churches. I am the bright morning star. So you got a book that says Jesus Christ fell from heaven. And if he fell from heaven, we're lost. If Jesus Christ fell from heaven, we're lost. We've put our faith in the wrong one, and there's nothing we can ever do to be saved or ever go to heaven. We're all going to die and go to hell if he fell from heaven. And that got a hold of me stronger than anything I ever saw. I mean, and then I started learning all the other stuff that's crazy in those new versions and all the things, the people who are behind them, the lesbian on the translating committee of the NIV, the sodomite who was on the Old Testament translating committee. Matter of fact, he was the head of the Old Testament translating committee. Look him up. Check into him. You'll find out that he was a filthy, filthy, filthy man. And the word sodomite doesn't appear in the NIV. Wonder why. Who would not want that in there? I mean, you know, an old hillbilly guy that I know one time said a hit dog is the one that hollers. I mean, you think about that. You throw a rock in a pack of dogs, the one you hit is going to be the one that hollers. So you get that NIV, and the one that got hit was the sodomite. So you yank that word right out of there. Now, the only place you find in there that says the name of the devil, Lucifer, is the King James Bible. Well, the New King James retained it, but all the rest of them kicked it out. But why do you think somebody would want the devil's name taken out of a book? I mean, who would want the devil's name taken out of that book? It doesn't take long to figure that one out. I mean, just, you know, human nature, a lot of that comes from the devil too, I think. Our human nature is to buck against the things that bother us. You know, when Paul was born again, the Lord told him, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know, it is. That's what we do. Something starts sticking us, we start kicking against it. We start throwing a fit against it. So that's pretty much what I've got for this morning. And we're going to get out of here early today. So I hope that God used this to show you something about the Word of God. I'm sold on this book. I can't sit here and tell you I always obey it. I'd be a liar if I did. But I'm sold on this book. Listen, you hear so many things preached from so many pulpits. Take that book and examine what they say. Be sure. You know, the Bereans, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, the Bible says. That they searched the scriptures to see if those things were so. Don't let any man tell you what you need to believe or what you ought to know. Search this Bible out. Jesus Christ said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. We need to know the book. We need to understand what it says about us and to us. That's what we need. We need that more than we need anything else. And if any man tries to tell you that there's more than one Bible, or any man tries to tell you that he's got it all mastered and all he knows all there is to know about it, you run from that guy. Because he's dumber than I am. I'll tell you that. And I think that's saying something sometimes, to be honest with you. I'm almost sure the Lord looks down sometimes and says, boy, that's the dumbest kid I got. You know? I'm fine with that. You know what the big key to that is for me? That's my kid. Dumb or not, I'm his. I'm okay with that. All right, Father, Lord, we do thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for a perfect Bible and the time, Lord, that I can spend to read and study it. I thank you, Lord, for these that have come this morning to listen. I pray, Father, you'd use something I said to help them, strengthen them, draw them nearer to your word, nearer to you, and we'll thank you for it. I pray that you get glory from all that was done, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.